Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Awesome.
Isn't it a great day? Yep. Who's happy today? You all right? Are you happy to be here today?
Yes.
Who's happy to be here today?
Yes.
There you go. Right? All right. I'm going to read you a story from Luke. Okay? Luke 18, 1 through 14. It's a parable from Jesus. All right? So you can look along. My version is a little different than yours, so don't get tripped up. Okay? All right. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for the people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth. He also told this parable to someone who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people. I thank you that I am not a thief or a rogue, or an adulterer, or even like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all of my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted.
Amen.
God bless that parable of Jesus.
Thank you, Howie. I'm going to ask if you will indulge me for a few minutes before I preach my message. Because what I want to do is I want to share with you the personal process I went through to come to this morning's topic. Because it was very interesting. And I just thought, I just wanted to share it with you. It began, this process to come to this morning's message began a week ago Thursday. A week ago Thursday, Linda and I were interviewed by the church board on Thursday night for a few hours. We left. We thought it went pretty well. On Friday morning, I'm at my other job. And Pastor Jeff calls me. And Pastor Jeff says, Gene, I have some good news. The board has unanimously recommended that we present you to the congregation as the next senior pastor. He said, this is what we're going to do. On February 5th, today, he said, you're going to preach a sermon. And then afterwards, there will be a question and answer time. And on February 12th, there'd be a vote. Now, I was really busy at the office Friday when Jeff called. So I can't say Friday. I spent a lot of time thinking about that. But I did think a little bit, and the question I had on my mind is, what do you preach for an audition sermon? I felt like this was an audition, and I mean that in all sincerity. Now, some of you may say, Gene, that's silly. We've heard you preach dozens of times. Some of you maybe have heard me preach hundreds of times, okay? And so that, I know it sounds silly, but to me, 100%, this was an audition sermon. I'm going to audition today, and you're going to vote next week. So, Saturday rolls around, and have no idea what to preach on. Sunday rolls around, no idea what to preach on, but I get advice from two pastors. One pastor says, why don't you give a vision casting sermon to the church, vision going forward? And the other pastor said, why don't you do like a State of the Union address, only a State of the Church address, and tell the church. Now let me tell you, both of those ideas are not bad ideas, but neither one of them resonated with me at all. It didn't even have a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10. Monday rolls around. By the way, this is this past Monday, and If you want to know, I usually decide a topic or a text a couple of weeks in advance. So now Monday, I still have no idea what I'm going to preach on for my audition. And then I get an email from Simon. Now, Simon is the guy over here who's leading worship, and he says basically this: Gene, can you tell me what you're preaching on and what the text is? Because I want to pick music for the service. So I'm staring at the screen thinking, well, how do I answer this? I have no idea what I'm preaching on. I have no idea what my text is. And, you know, it's not fair to him. He needs to know something. So I just stared at my computer screen, and then I had this thought. I wasn't talking out loud to myself, but I was talking to myself silently, and this is what I was thinking. Gene, who are you trying to impress? Are you trying to impress God? Are you trying to impress the congregation? And then it's as though I had, like, God speaking to me. And I don't say this very often, but I can't tell you what else it was. This is what the voice in my head said. That's exactly what you're going to preach. I don't know what? You're going to preach on how to impress God. And you're going to preach from Luke 18. It's kind of spooky stuff. So I said, I've never preached on how to impress God before. It's kind of a strange topic. So I wanted to let you know that's how I got to this morning's message, because I want to preach on how to impress God. How do you impress God? How do I impress God? So, it may not be your typical audition sermon. I'm sure that it isn't. But I want you to know how I arrived at this morning's topic. Now, let's get into the sermon. I'm going to start with a story. Okay? You're familiar with my stories. This is a story. And the story goes like this. The story talks about a businessman who was very successful in his hometown. And he thought one day to himself, you know, I bet if I became a member at the local church, my business would increase. This will really help my business. Now, the trouble was, this guy was an adulterer, an alcoholic, a liar, a cheat, etc., etc. But he thought about it, and that Sunday morning, he went down to his local church. He walked in and talked to the pastor, and he said to the pastor, can I give the church a testimony? The pastor said, okay. So he walked down to the front of the church that Sunday morning and told the church that there was no sin in his life, that he loved the church. He'd gone to church his whole life. And the church took him in as a member. He went home that day and he told his wife what he had done. Now his wife was a godly woman, and she was furious. She was irate. She called him a hypocrite. She told him that she couldn't believe that her husband did that. And she demanded that he go back to church the next week and tell them who he really was. Well, that next week he took his wife's advice to heart. She went back to church and asked the pastor again, can I give a testimony to the church? He walked down the front again, and this time he told him who he was. He confessed all his sins. He said he was an adulterer, an alcoholic, a liar, and a cheat. And then he said he was very sorry for what he had done. Well, the church revoked his membership on the spot. It is reported that he walked out of church that day talking to himself and scratching his head. And this is what he was saying. He was saying, those church people, they are really strange people. Because I told them a lie, and they took me in. And when I told them the truth, they kicked me out. Unfortunately, that is representative of far too many churches in America today. In our story, Jesus tells us in the parable that how he read for us, he tells us about two men who find themselves in a very similar situation, but they had totally different results. You could say one of the men tried to talk himself into the kingdom, but he didn't make it. And you could argue that the other guy tried to talk himself out of God's kingdom, and he made it. In the text that was read in Luke 18, the first 8 verses tell us about the importance of persisting in our prayer. Don't give up praying. Keep praying. But then in verse 9, Jesus tells us a parable. Now let me remind you what a parable is. It's a made-up story. Jesus is not telling us a historical event that he watched take place. He's making up a story to tell the people he was speaking to so he could teach them a lesson. So Jesus makes up this parable. Now, it's always important when you read the Bible to know, if you're going to properly interpret it, who was the audience? What was going on when that person said those things? Well, Luke makes it very clear who the audience is. We don't have to doubt because he just tells us. In verse 9 it says, this is the audience, to some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. So that's who Jesus is speaking to. People who looked down on other people because they thought they were righteous. So, the question is, are any of us here being addressed by Jesus in this parable? Let me ask you some questions. Do you ever look down on people who don't go to church and think maybe you're better than they are because you go to church? Well, if you do, Jesus is speaking to you. What about this? Do you ever look down on people because they're in prison and you think you're better than they are? Well, if you do, Jesus is speaking this parable to you. What about this? You ever look down on people who are divorced because you're not divorced and you're better than they are because you're not divorced? Well, if you are, Jesus is speaking to you. In fact, have you ever looked down your nose at anyone for any reason and think you're better than they are? Then this parable is for you. Now, I would guess that every one of us, including myself, find ourselves somewhere in this story. Because at one time or another, maybe all of us are guilty at trying to impress God by looking down on others. You know, people will do some very odd things to impress God. Some very odd things. That's odd. By the way, people do these things because they're impressing God. We do that. What do you think? Think God's impressed by those things? Today we're going to find out what impresses God and what doesn't. Right here at the beginning, I can tell you this. You probably can only impress God when you don't try to. Let's read verses 10 and 12. I'll read them for you. They've already been read for us, and they say this. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I possess. Now, some of you hearing that really want to jump down the Pharisee's throat because of his arrogance, right? I mean, that's fair. But I want you to be very, very careful before you do and understand who Jesus was talking to in that culture. Because the Pharisees would have been the people who were close to God, who God talked to. They were God's people, right? They were right up there next to God. This Pharisee, he would have dotted every religious I, and he would have crossed every theological T. The Pharisee would have went strictly by the book. Now, you could argue maybe that the Pharisee had a heart for religion, but that his religion had no heart. But he certainly let everyone know how wonderful he was, didn't he? First of all, we read that he fasted twice a week. Now, you may think that's normal, but you know, the New Testament, which would have been his Bible, said a Jew only has to fast one day a year, the Day of Atonement. So this Pharisee fasted 103 times more than was required of him. And then it says that he tithed everything that he possessed. Well, again, his Bible, the Old Testament, said he only needed to tithe on his income. The man in our story, however, said that he not only tithed on his income, but he tithed on his possessions. He was like a double tither. Now, there's nothing wrong with fasting more than once a week, and there's certainly nothing wrong with giving more than a tithe. But this is the problem. This man had a problem, the same problem many people have today. What he thought was that his goodness gained him brownie points with God. He thought that God accepts a person because of what they do for him. Or in other words, he thought he could get to heaven by good works. He was religious, and he was proud of it. Let me remind you of something here. If you trust in anything, anything, even good things, church membership, church attendance, baptism, religion, good works, anything at all other than Jesus Christ, you are only fooling yourself, like the Pharisee did in our story. The Pharisee thought that God would be impressed because of everything he was doing. So here's the first clue on what impresses God. Don't try to impress God. Heard the story about a fifth grader. Came home from school very excited one day because she had been voted prettiest girl in class. The next day she came home, she was even more excited, for the class had voted her most likely to succeed. The next day she came home and told her mother she won a third contest, being voted most popular. Well, on the fourth day she came home and she was extremely upset. The mother said, "What happened? Did you lose a vote this time?" And the daughter said, no, I won the vote again." And the mother said, "What were you voted this time?" And she said, "I was voted most stuck up." The Pharisee in our story would have won that contest, hands down. He had an I problem. Four times you read that little pronoun I in the short two verses. All he did was talk about himself. He had a very inflated view of who he was, and you may say a deflated view of who God is. C.S. Lewis once said this, quote, "A proud man is always looking down on things and people, and of course, as long as you're looking down, you can't see something that's above you." So the Pharisee had fooled himself about himself. He says, "God, I thank you, I'm not like other men." Are you kidding me? Didn't you guys know what the Bible says? He's not like other men. He was like every other person. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is every priest, every pope, every pastor, every church leader, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in verse 11, it said, he stood up and prayed about himself. Literally in the Greek, you know what that says? He stood up and prayed to himself. Literally, that's what it says. When you approach God filled with pride, you really end up talking to yourself. Someone once said this, the only person God sends away empty is a person that's filled with himself. So, I've talked a lot about what does not impress God. But what does impress God? Let's kind of go down that road. I want to propose to you this morning that humility impresses God. The contrast Jesus gives in this story would have been easily recognized by his hearers. We don't get that contrast as we sit here some 2,000 years later when he talks about a Pharisee and a tax collector. Those people could not be any more different and apart in that culture. It would be like saying, Mother, they're about the same, the Pharisee and tax collector, as Mother Teresa would have been to a pedophile. They're just on opposite ends of the spectrum. Right? I mean, the tax collectors, they were the scum of the Jewish society. They charged exorbitant rates. They would steal money off the top. They would take candy from a baby. They would take a welfare check from their mother. They were considered traitors to their own nation. As a matter of fact, this was the law. The law was that a tax collector, not only could they not hold public office, but they could not give testimony in court because their word was meaningless. They weren't even allowed to go to court and give testimony, because they just couldn't be trusted. So when Jesus said tax collectors, that group of people he was talking to, they got it. This guy was scum, and the other guy was godly. They got the difference, maybe more than we do. There's no doubt the man in Jesus' story was a liar and a cheat. All tax collectors were liars and cheats. Jesus never said he was anything but a tax collector. So we assume he was your average tax collector. But then the story takes a very odd twist. Because the Pharisee tried to impress God and wasn't able to. And the tax collector was not trying to impress God at all. He was just being humble of heart. And according to the story, that greatly impressed God. Why is that? Well, because humility impresses God. The tax collector was as humble as the Pharisee was proud. Now you could see that first by his feet. Verse 13 says, the tax collector stood at a distance. Now a Pharisee went to the center of the court, stood in the sunshine, so everyone could hear his great prayer to God. Contrast that with the tax collector. Where did he stand? He stood in the outer edges of the court of the Gentiles, probably in the shade or the shadows, where no one could see him. He just wanted to have a dialogue with God by himself. You could see his humility in his eyes. The verse tells us he would not look up to heaven. Now the Pharisee was too proud to look up. The tax collector was too ashamed to look up. You could hear it in his voice. He says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Well, God heard his prayer, we're told in the parable in verse 14. Because Jesus says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Friends, the road to heaven is paved with humility. Now, on the outside, everyone hearing the story when Jesus told it would have said unanimously that the Pharisee was the one that was close to God, and the tax collector was the one who was cursed by God. But we know from the story it was the tax collector who was closer to God than the Pharisee. How do we know that? Well, Psalm 34:18 says this. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. What impressed God was the tax collector's willingness to simply humble himself before God. Now, it hit me as I was thinking about this that there's one thing worse than being a sinner. Something worse than being a sinner. And the one thing that's worse is being a sinner and not admitting you are a sinner. That's much worse. In verse 14, listen to what Jesus says about the man who impressed God. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus draws a conclusion in this story that would have stunned and shocked his listeners. They wouldn't have believed the story that Jesus was telling. Remember, the Pharisees wore the white hats and the tax collectors wore the black hats in that culture. And if you would ask the crowd that Jesus was speaking to, which man did God accept? It would have been unanimous. God accepts the Pharisee and God rejects the tax collector. But I remind you of this, that there's only one vote that really counts, right? One. I think you all know who that is. It's God's vote. Next week, when you vote, to be honest, do not vote based on how much you like me or don't like me, how much you like my sermons or don't like my sermons. You vote on how God is leading you to vote, because that's what we should be seeking here. All right? So you vote how God has impressed you to vote. God's vote is really the only one that matters. Now, one of the things we should learn from this is that it isn't really important how we see ourselves, but it's only important how God sees us. Because the Pharisee certainly saw himself as a very righteous man. And he had it all together. Right? The tax collector, on the other hand, didn't see himself as that, did he? But how did God see those two? Well, God says to the tax collector, your sins are forgiven. You've been justified. The Pharisee was so filled with himself, he had nothing to say. The second thing to learn here is that mercy is something we cannot earn or something we cannot pay for. It is freely given by God, but only to those who have admitted that we need his mercy. True story. Many years ago, there was a man who played for the Emperor of China in his royal orchestra. And the trouble is, he couldn't play an instrument. So every time the orchestra practiced, every time the orchestra played, he would put his flute up against his lips and pretend he was playing. Again, true story. Now, why would he do that? Well, because if you were in the orchestra of the emperor, you had a great life. You had a very comfortable life. You were well cared for. Trouble was, one day the emperor requested a solo from each musician. And the flutist got very nervous because there was no way he could learn his instrument in the amount of time he had, so he acted as though he was sick. He was so sick he couldn't play. But he didn't fool the royal physician who said, you are well enough to play for the emperor. Well, the day of his solo performance, the imposter took poison and killed himself. There's an old expression, he refused to face the music. That's true. That's where we get this from. He refused to face the music. Why do I tell you that story? Friends, the way to impress God, simply face the music. Now, you can face the music now and spend eternity with God in heaven, or you could face the music later and spend eternity separated from God forever. It's your choice. It's your choice. When you finally realize that there is absolutely nothing in life more important than your relationship with God, you have finally impressed God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for your word. And 2,000 years later, it still teaches us and changes lives. And I pray, God, that any of us here who try to impress you, God, that your Holy Spirit would help us just stop that practice. I pray, God, that any of us here who don't think that we are good enough to come before you, Father, would be encouraged that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all you want is honesty. All you want is transparency. All you want is us to recognize that you are God and we are not. So, Father, we give ourselves to you, and we thank you, God, for this reminder today that you, Father, are not a respecter of persons and positions, that you love all of us, Lord. You just want us to recognize our desperate need for you. So thank you, God, for these words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.